Yeah, we have started, my guys.
We are live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cardboard Cave podcast. As you guys can see, today we're doing something a little different. It's me and JP in the same room for once. Like, we're actually in the same room for like the first time in a long time.
Yesterday?
No. But I mean, like for a podcast.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Like last time was like one of the times at the store, and that was it.
Yes.
So yeah, guys, as you guys know, and as you guys can see, like on your screen right now, right? And for those who are listening, well, you can't see us, but you get the point. We are going to cover the spoilers for Commander Legends Baldur's Gate. JP, you want to kick something off?
I'm not actually that excited for this set.
Really, my dude.
Nothing I've seen has really piqued my interest. So we'll get to that. We'll just talk about them.
Gotcha.
So the first card we have for today is Zevlor El Turul Exile. Could you go ahead and click?
Let me like enlarge this guy.
Yes. There you go. He's one blue, black, and red. For a legendary creature, Tiefling Warrior, 4/2 haste. 2 mana, tap him, and you get an ability that you do when you cast an instant or sorcery spell that targets a single opponent or a single permanent an opponent controls this turn. For each other opponent, choose that player or permanent they control. Copy that spell and copy the targets, the chosen player, and the copy targets the chosen player or permanent. So, from what I understand on this, is you pay 2 mana, you tap him, you cast Chaos Warp, and you target one of the lands, and then now you just target everything. You target their entire board, and then they Chaos Warp their entire board. Meanwhile, you keep yours. This is nasty.
I think it's lovely.
It's nasty. It's a Tiefling Warrior, which is interesting, though. Art is kind of like, are those roots? Are those tentacles?
Yeah. So this is like the art, remember, comes from the Baldur's Gate 3 video game that's coming up.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really cool tie-in to have, like, you know, the magic set tied directly into like the lore of the game. And this dude is supposed to be an exile from hell, and he is taking refuge in a dryad's
the druid compound
that
you find in the game. Yeah,
exactly. So he's taking refuge with the druid, so I'm guessing that's where like the roots behind him and everything, all that stuff in the art is like comes into play, right? Honestly, I'm having some trouble understanding that effect. But
you pay 2 mana, you tap him, you cast Jeskha's Will. Oh look, I target one opponent, now I target all 3.
Yeah.
And then I add mana equal to each opponent's hands, and then I exile 9 cards, and I can cast a lot of red cards with mana. That's for Jeskha's Will.
No, I know, but that's still
you target
essentially 2 mana to do the thing. Like that's kind of insane with a spell like Jeskha's Will.
Yeah, this card is he is nasty.
Can't you also do the one that like mills half of your deck to essentially just get a win? Or at least fuck with a lot of people.
If it's target player, then yes, because you have to target one.
I think it was target player though.
Target player moves half their library. Okay, then now.
Yeah, like the black card that you can that's target player now. Something from the abyss or something. Cost 7.
Oh wait, you mean Peer into the Abyss?
Peer into the Abyss. Is that not like target player?
Yes. But then they draw the cards.
But they lose half of their life. And they lose half of their deck.
Gave them cards, though.
But what if you keep copying it? You just get rid of them.
Then that's half of the half of the half of the half. And anyways, this card is still, you know,
it's great. It's great for jank, and it's great for like to do ridiculous things like the Jeskha's Will thing.
I also think it's just a 4/2 haste. It can smack face hard.
Yeah.
So,
I've stopped thinking about creatures for their smack face value these days, which has been like a mistake in my opinion.
Yes.
All right, so what do we got next? This guy, which has to get translated. So it says Guild Artisan, legendary enchantment background. Commander creatures you own have, whenever this creature attacks a player, if no other opponent has more life than that player, create two treasure tokens.
So we've gotten a confirmation. Background does work like partner. It's basically partner.
Yeah.
It's just choose a background is the key wording for partner with a background.
Partner with an enchantment, which is really interesting. You're getting a non-creature partner, essentially.
Basically, yeah. This is good. Whenever this creature attacks a player, if no other opponent has more life than that player. No other opponent. So, okay. So I recently made a Jolene the Plunder Queen deck, and this would slot in pretty easily. You just attack a player, I create two treasure tokens with Jolene. I attack the one that has the most life. I create two more, but then because of Jolene, I create one more. So I make five treasure tokens immediately.
That's insane.
And that's her lucky number. So you can sacrifice five and make her a 7/7.
Wow.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah. No, that's definitely pretty insane.
Yeah.
Huh. I can't wait to see like the stuff that's gonna come out of like this new mechanic, like the decks that are gonna come out of that.
So yeah, these mechanics are gonna be fun. But we've already talked about this one.
Yeah, quick question about the backgrounds, if we even have like that info. How do they work in terms of like you just cast them from the command zone?
Yeah.
Alright. Well dang. Do they have to be the same color as your commander, though?
No. Partner. Most of these choose a background cards are monocolor.
Yeah.
Most of them. If not all, I've noticed specifically.
That's interesting.
We've talked about John Irenicus, the Shattered One.
Yes, I remember this guy.
We talked about him.
He's got that cool art, though.
Yes, the art. Actually, wow, the art deco, it's like the modular module art is really, really cool.
I think it's like rule book art or something like that, but it looks really cool. I really like it.
Yeah. So if you want to see us talk about this card and discuss it, look for us in YouTube. We already have a video talking about this. Next card would be Volo Itinerant Scholar. Two in a blue for a legendary creature human wizard. He's a mythic. He's a 2/3. When Volo enters the battlefield, create Volo's Journal, a legendary colorless artifact token with hexproof. And whenever you cast a creature spell, note one of its creature types that hasn't been noted for this artifact. Then you pay 2 mana and tap Volo to draw a card for each creature type noted for target permanent you control named Volo's Journal. This can draw you a lot of cards.
I really like the idea of having this guy in like a Volo deck.
Yes, the Volo having monsters.
Yes, or just having like the first Volo in this Volo's deck. Any of the two, like, would just be so fun to watch.
In order to have that Volo in this deck, you would have to choose a background
that's green.
That's green,
which I think will be kind of fun.
But otherwise, Volo in. Like this Volo in the other deck feels like a slam dunk.
Yeah, definitely.
I do like this card.
So hold on, when you cast something with choose a background, like in the middle of the game, and like put it in the 99 instead of like in the command zone, how would that work out? Like, do you just cast it and like choose a background at that moment?
So I don't think that's how it would be working. But a lot of a similarity we can draw from is partner with mechanic is different from the partner mechanic.
Gotcha.
Some cards are partner with this other card, and when this other card enters the battlefield, you search for the other half.
Exactly.
So, but these don't specify any of that.
Okay.
So you don't get to choose a background.
I'll check out the rulings for background later. You know them by any chance?
I don't have all of them, but I know general ones. But
for our viewers, right? I like highlighting the alternate art. It just looks so cool.
Yes. Next card, we have Noble Heritage.
We can't talk about these at the same time. Like, we have Criminal Pass, which we talked about in the one of the previous episodes, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we haven't talked about Noble Heritage, or have we?
No, not Noble Heritage, I don't think so.
So Noble Heritage is a one and a white legendary enchantment background. Commander creatures you own have, when this creature enters the battlefield at the beginning of your upkeep, each player may put 2+1 counters on each creature they control, on a creature. Actually quite significant. A creature they control. For each opponent who does, you gain protection from that player
until your next turn.
But it's a may. I don't think this is strong. Mostly because of that may.
Yeah.
If you could just force that, like, I am noble, I am of noble descent, you get +1 counters, you try to protect an obligated protection, that would be pretty cool.
But I think this could probably be really tempting if it was treasures.
That would make sense too.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. But I like the idea of 1-1 counters, because it's more of kind of like forming like an agreement or like an alliance. Like, I'll strengthen you, and you know, in return, like, you're not gonna mess with me. Yeah. But instead of like going to like the control, like, well, yeah, you're just getting protected from the player, so yeah. But yeah, forcing it would have like made this much more viable. I think it's flavorful the way it's worded, but it's not. Like, that's kind of like what Orengo sometimes says that he hates. Like, sometimes the flavor kind of messes with the card mechanic.
And the power.
Yeah, and the power of the card.
Then we have Criminal Past. We talked about this. It's 2 and a black legendary enchantment background. Commander creatures you own have menace, and this creature gets +X+0, where X is the number of creature cards in your graveyard.
Super fun for decks, like, self-mill.
Yeah, self-mill. These cards can get really big. Next card, I haven't actually seen this one.
White Plume Adventure. I'm gonna do the pretty art because.
Yeah. White Plume Adventure. Tuna White is a creature or cleric, 3/3. When White Plume Adventure enters the battlefield, you take the initiative. At the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, untap a creature you control. If you completed a dungeon, untap all creatures you control instead.
Wow.
I don't feel like this effect is like that strong.
It's not that strong. It's not even that good. But I do think it's just fun. This is like, I'm thinking when I see this, I honestly think more of like more casual players in our playgroup and how fun this would be like for them, I suppose. We've been playing at higher power, and a lot of the commander community, especially over the last like few years, like with the pandemic, everyone's just been cooped up brewing decks, and Magic has been getting like out of control. So a lot of the older players, we're just thinking about like these things in a higher power level, you know, like we're talking about deck 7 and above. But a lot of the people that are getting into the community now that the pandemic has just like been clearing up like little by little, right, are just playing more casual decks because they're just starting out in Magic, you know. They're not looking to buy like $1,000 deck to be able to just like have some fun with friends. And I think that this is the kind of thing that can introduce players to, like, you know, just kind of open their eyes and be like, hey, this, there's like more of this stuff and there's better versions of this stuff. But if it's gonna be at like a higher budget.
Drumbellower is like a new one and it's pretty cheap though.
Yeah.
It just does the effect immediately.
Yeah, we did talk about that in a previous episode as well, like how a lot of times you're getting a lot of cards that are kind of, they do the same effects, but there's just one that's clearly better, and they release them in such a like
consecutive order.
Consecutive order, that's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah.
So
it was interesting. Next card would be Baldur's Gate.
Yes, we actually predicted this one. We talked about this.
We did say there was going to be a Baldur's Gate being a legendary gate land.
I did not expect the effect.
But we did not expect the effect.
Yeah.
So,
the only thing that I guess we kind of got right is that we speculated that it would, that it would just like obviously work with like multiple gates, not just with like itself or something.
So, Baldur's Gate, legendary land, it's a gate, which is important because it can tap to add colorless, or you pay 2 mana, tap it, and you add X mana of any one color, which is kind of disappointing, to be honest, where X is the number of other gates you control.
Yeah.
But the X mana in any one color, I guess. But I thought it would be like, you know, it's a city. It's very diverse. It would be an X mana in any color combination. One of the important things about this land is very similar to Cabal Coffers. This, you know, pay two, tap it, and add, you know, a bunch of mana. Very similar to Nykthos, but contrary to both of those, Nykthos requires devotion. If you have no devotion, paying two and tapping it does nothing.
Exactly.
Cabal Coffers require swamps, right? This could still add one mana, even because it itself is a legendary gate, so it is also including itself. Usually, you know, it's not Cabal Coffers is not that relevant because you're usually pairing it with Urborg. Yeah. And that makes it a lot better.
And you're more than likely putting it in a mono black deck, so
yeah. But like it makes sense. I really like this card. I don't play Gates. I know John plays Gates, so
yes, I think this will be really good for like something like the unfortunately retired Golos.
El Minster. Okay, so Elminster is the goat of wizards.
Is this the guy that has like his own like super famous tower in Baldur's Gate? Like people that try to like be his students and stuff?
I'm not sure specifically Baldur's Gate, but this is like the wizard. It's like he's the wizard. So
I'm actually not familiar with Elminster.
Read up on him. He is the wizard. Anyway, nice. 3 white blue for a legendary planeswalker, Elminster. Whenever you scry, the next instant or sorcery spell you cast this turn costs X less to cast, where X is the number of cards looked at while scrying this way. Draw a card. That he has a +2 ability. That's draw a card, then scry 2. And he has a -3 ability. Exile the top card of your library, create a number of 1/1 blue fairy dragon creature tokens with flying equal to that card's mana value. And his last ability is probably the best one. Elminster can be your commander.
Yes, sir.
So they added again planeswalkers being commanders. I do enjoy when they are designed to do this, because they're usually pretty designed pretty fairly. Yeah. Very rarely would they be broken, and even then when they are broken, they're not like...
They're usually not broken by themselves or anything.
Yeah. This one's pretty damn good, by the way. It's like draw a card and scry two. You can cast things if you scry.
I just don't like his converted mana cost, but it's because I've been spoiled recently.
Yeah, five mana is a bit, but he's also like supposed to be like controlling type card. Exactly. I see. So I don't feel like he should be like 4 mana.
Yeah.
At 4 mana, he's already pretty damn good.
Yeah, no, and I really like the whole idea of when planeswalkers come in with a number of loyalty counters equal to their mana costs. Because
five,
exactly, like it doesn't feel bad, because if you get less loyalty counters, you're like, oh well, I'm paying like, you know, 5 for something that comes in for 4 or 3 loyalty counters, like that sucks. When it goes over, sometimes it feels like a bit too powerful. Exactly, we get Oko.
Okay, so yeah. Although Oko enters with 3, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, with 3, three, with, three. And 5 loyalty counters.
He doesn't enter with 5.
It's not 5, is it 4? Or...
He enters with a lot.
I just know...
He enters with more than she should.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah.
Then we have the alternate arts for Baldur's Gate and Elminster.
Like Baldur's Gate is just full art, but it's this just, guy has alternate art, and that fairy dragon looks beautiful.
Dude. Yeah.
Oh man.
Miracle.
I didn't think they were going to do more gods. But they did.
I'm glad
they did. And they've shown 2, so I'm expecting an entire cycle.
That would be amazing.
So, Miracle, Lord of Bones. 4 white, black, green for a 7/5 legendary creature god. This is the god text, because both of the gods that we've covered already, like this one and Baal, have this same text. As long as your life total is less than or equal to your starting life total, Mirkul, Lord of Bones, has indestructible. And now his ability. Whenever another non-token creature you control dies, you may exile it. If you do, create a token that's a copy of that card, except it's an enchantment and loses all other card types. This card is stupid. Yep. I mean, seven mana. Seven mana god, I'm expecting something stupid.
In those colors where it's pretty easy to get like populate effects.
So a lot of people have been wanting myself included, a Bant enchantment legendary. This gets there. Doesn't do exactly how I would want it to, but this gets there.
Yeah.
And the only thing I have like against it in a way is that you are rewarded with enchantments for playing non-enchantments.
Gotcha.
In other words, creatures.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily Bant enchantment. This is Abzan.
I was saying, yeah. Bant. I've seen a few Bant decks that run enchantments.
Abzan. This is the first Abzan legendary creature based on with enchantment support.
Yeah.
But Abzan, white, black, green. He is rewarded for playing creatures, and they make enchantments incidentally. Yeah. So this might not be exactly what people have been looking for, considering people want a more focused type decks. Because I see this, and this is stupid for other reasons. Like, you keep people in our commander chat would
slot in or into procession and watch things go burr.
Yes, but also people were like, oh, let's play hate bears, let's play this, and then if they kill the hate bears will stay. Except now they're enchantments and harder to remove, and now nobody can play. Haha.
That sounds beautiful, JP.
It's fine to play with hate bears, but they're getting on my nerves, because when I want to play with hate bears, like when I play Kaikar, I'm playing a CEDH storm deck. There's no hate bears. I'm going off in turn 4 and nobody's stopping me.
That's exactly why we need hate bears.
Which is fine. But then I go out in my treasure tribal smack face deck, and people say, you don't get to play. And I'm like, okay.
It's beautiful.
Guess I don't get to play.
Can't sacrifice things. Whee!
No.
Whee!
This is strong. This is very strong. Okay. The enchantments is just upside, but it's like, you don't really need to build enchantments with this. This is just whatever. Like, this is just generically really good. So.
We have that alternate art, though.
I actually don't like that one as much.
I think it just looks creepy enough for me to just say, yeah, let's go. But it doesn't have like any background detail or anything, so I don't think it works as well.
Yeah.
Lyzel.
We talked about Lyzel,
that is true.
Yeah, because John went like, oh, counters on planeswalkers.
Yep.
Yeah. Faceless one is one we haven't talked about.
Yes.
So because this is interesting, because Faceless one is a legendary enchantment creature background. This can be your commander, and it's a creature and the background.
Yeah.
One of the main reasons they do this is the same way they did in Commander Legends for the partner mechanic, the Piper. That's just a colorless 5-mana creature and just adds that's just a color.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically the same thing.
Yeah.
But in this case, for their current mechanic being background. Some people are like, oh, faceless one, and then there's the two guys.
So essentially, this is supposed to be meant for commander draft more than anything.
Yes, but people will use it. If people want to, definitely. People will use it.
Oh, definitely.
There's people talking about Reddit with the comments saying, I want to make a rule zero deck with faceless one and the Piper. Because they both technically don't have colors, but you choose your colors. You can just play anything, really. And you can only play two colors, but yeah, you can basically do anything. Rule zero, so. Anyways. Yeah.
I mean...
Next card.
That's actually some pretty good ideas. I like those Reddit ideas.
Yeah. Now, I've never seen this card, so this is no.
Nope. Completely new.
Levan, Cultist of Tiamat. Tuna Red, legendary creature, Dragon Shaman. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, target creature gets +X+0 until end of turn, where X is that spell's mana value. So this is just the popper deck that just gives it's a creature that's a 1 and a red 1/1 or 1/3 that gets +3/+0. So for every spell you cast this turn, Kilfiend.
Yeah, he's a little cat, little fire cat.
Yeah, Elemental Beast is a 1/2 mana, and he gets +3/+0 for every instant or sorcery. This case is non-creature, but
you kind of go ham with anything, really.
Yeah, this is very similar to that, and it has to choose a background.
Pretty cool little dude. I don't got a lot to say about him. I do like Cultist of Tiamat, and I'm like constantly wondering. Like, there's a lot of you can kind of tell the stuff that's going to pop up like in the game or already has by kind of like the art style I noticed.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if this is even like included or if this is just something like...
Just a Baldur's Gate character in general.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, there we go. We got another game character here. Let's go over here. So we got Levan in the pretty art. I really like that art, actually. That's one of the better looking ones, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And then we got this guy right here, a Dragon Shaman, or a Dragonborn Shaman, should I say?
Yeah.
So that's Lozan. Dragon's Legacy?
Yeah, Lozan, Dragon's Legacy. You want to read this?
Sure. He comes down for 3/1 blue and 1 red. He's a legendary creature, Dragon Shaman. He has flying, because we can't have a Dragon Shaman without flying. It's really interesting, because that would mean it's a Dragonborn with flying, which is really fun. Whenever you cast an adventure spell or a dragon spell, this card deals damage equal to that spell's mana value to any target that isn't a commander.
So
that's really specific, but also kind of fun, not gonna lie.
You start pinging a lot of creatures. So we were talking about how the three color Bant adventure guy, he should not have been Bant, he should have been Teemer, because this would have just slotted in right there.
Yeah.
And mostly we keep saying it should be Teemer, mostly because
I agree.
When Adventures was in standard, Teemer was the main color.
Mm-hmm.
And has a really good like a red adventure card. I haven't really seen the white adventure cards. Yeah, I'm not sure.
They didn't really take the spotlight for a reason. There was one that was really important though, which was the one that has like a, I think it's a board wipe on one end and
The giant?
No, it's not the giant.
Yeah.
No, like the little.
It's the other, giant.
No, it's the little guy that they use for weenies. I don't know if one side was a board up, but no, I just think it was like a buff spell or something, and then the little guy would tap creatures for like one for one way. It was really important in that standard meta.
Spell, and then the one that
removal tapped, spell. Yeah, there removal we go. Spell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and now we have
Astarion
the Decadent.
the vampire that tried to like get in bed with me in Baldur's Gate. He's a really cool dude. So he comes down for a converted mana cost of 6. So that's, or I'm sorry, converted mana value of 6. So that would be 4, a white and a black, legendary creature, vampire elf rogue. He has death touch and lifelink. He's a 4/4, and at the beginning of your end step, you get to choose one. You either feed or friends. target opponent loses life equal to the amount of life they have lost this turn, or you can friends, you gain life equal to the amount of life you gain this turn. Fun.
Pretty strong effect.
Party is friends, not food.
Very similar to basically Wound Reflection. Whenever you lose life, you lose that much. Like at the end, you lose that amount of life lost this turn. So at 6 mana as a creature and in an additional color, it is very, very well costed for the type of effect that I'm comparing it to.
Hmm.
So, because Wound Reflection is 5 and a black, an enchantment, and does this effect.
This one's a body with 2 abilities. Three abilities.
It's like more, because technically, Death Touch and Lifelink is pretty relevant.
Definitely.
So, now we have
Baba Lissaga, which we already talked about.
We talked about her, but now we can confirm that it's basically just Baba Yaga.
Yeah, definitely. You can see like the house with the little legs, the root legs.
And you can hear the favorite text.
Ooh. Better the cold night than her warm hospitality.
Yeah.
I like that. So,
and we've already talked about Gale.
We talked about Gale, really?
Yeah. Gale.
We talked about Mazi, right?
Florian, Mazi. And we talked about Raphael.
I can't remember if we actually did talk about Raphael.
Yes, because I said it was really bad. Devil Imps and Tieflings is very varied, and at 5 mana, where the effect does, I don't feel like it's where you want to be.
I guess.
Also, remember talking about Dinahair, because I remember gushing about this card because it does a lot of the effects I really do enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
We go with Baal.
All the gods. Lord of Murder.
Above we have the different versions.
We have Astarion.
Yeah. Okay, Astarion actually looks really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Really like what he's got going. Even Gale, like his face gives me like an Urza vibe, kind of. But it's really funny because Gale would probably be the kindest version of Urza you've ever seen. So basically not Urza.
Not Urza.
All right, so
then that's Dinahair with a
Raphael looks sick.
I love Mazi.
Did we talk about this card?
Yes.
I mean, it isn't rare. I don't think it's too relevant
because that's a kobold. When we talk about the kobold being not cowardly, and we talked about Raised by Giants, Cultist of the Absolute. Yep. Ultimate Harvester. This is a reprint. This is very important.
Like, Bramble Sovereign.
I'm not sure if it's a very important reprint, but it's a good reprint, I think. I sold mine for $16, so I'm not sure how much it would be.
I think it's going to be relevant, I think it's a really fun card to run in the other god that we talked about, the 7 cost one. The Abzan god. I think it's a card that would really work for card. That. Wow.
Not bad.
So hopefully we can hopefully get it down to like maybe $15 or $10, depending on like how many reprints it had.
Yeah.
That's really good news. Oh, look at that art though.
Yeah.
I saw this art and I fell in love with it too. Battle Angels of
Sea.
We haven't talked about the Battle Angels, right?
No, we haven't talked about those. But wow, the alternate art is...
Ugh. The alternate art just gives me like a kind of a nostalgic feeling when you look at older Magic cards.
This
looks like a secret layer card, straight up.
Yes.
Like this looks like something I would pull out of a secret layer.
Yeah. So, Battle Angels of Tyr. 2 white for a 4/4 flying angel knight with Myriad. Whenever Battle Angels of Tyr deal combat damage to a player, draw a card. If that player has more cards in hand than each other player, then you create a treasure token. If that player controls more lands than each other player, then you gain 3 life. If that player has more life than each other player. And with Myriad, you're going to be doing all 3 effects, hopefully.
I like how Battle Angels of Tyr just really sounds like at the beginning, you start reading it and it's like, ah, yes. Let's go for the big guy and just leave the little guys alone, right?
No.
Battle Angels of Tyr has Myriad, so he's smacking everybody in the room.
very interesting is you're very, very much like white. If you're behind, this card will try to get you ahead.
Exactly.
Interestingly, if this card doesn't trigger, you're already winning.
Exactly.
So you're just smacking with technically, like, you're smacking with 12 power in the air.
Yeah. It might not all be at the same person, but it's still, like, good to have that love spread around the table like that.
Yeah. I'm really high on this card.
Yeah. And I was, like, it's the first time in a while where I've, like, seen that kind of, like, design space in which it's, like, a white card that even though it has a downside, it doesn't mean that it's automatically, like, bad if the upside doesn't trigger. So we have
Jahira's Respite. 4 green instant. Search your library for up to X basic land cards, where X is the number of creatures attacking you. Put those cards onto the battlefield tapped. Prevent all combat damage that would be dealt this turn.
This is a nerf. Like, this is a really weird Settle the Wreckage. Settle the Wreckage is essentially Path to Exile. This one just instead prevents the combat damage and makes you look for the lands instead.
I guess, yeah.
Actually, it was funny because I remember there being a joke card that someone made that was a green Path to Exile, but then you would look for the lands instead. So I think it's really funny that someone thought of that and that then just like Wizards of the Coast launches this thing. They're listening, people.
We talked about Illithid Harvester again. That's the like borderless art. The command tower.
You mean the smash symbol? Because the first thing I like started looking at it, I thought we were getting a Smash Bros. Secret layer. You can barely tell that thing's a tower.
We have a friend that was like, he said, oh yeah, the art is horrible, but in foil it'll look really cool because of the rainbow and the lightning on the just the rays of light from behind.
Correct.
We've seen the Arcane Signet. It's kind of nice.
We also saw the Nautiloid ship.
We've already seen Nautiloid ship.
We saw the robe, I remember that.
Yeah, and the alternate arts. Okay. These are the face commanders for the set.
Yes.
There are going to be 4 commanders. And
I want to start with the Illithid.
Yeah. Okay, go for it.
Alright, so we got We got Captain Davy Jones here, right? His name. I'm not even gonna try to read that name, if I'm being honest.
Gathrod.
I think it's just Gathrod. I don't think you pronounce the N.
Gathrod.
That was 2 very different kinds of nya.
He's a pirate. Nyah!
Right. Yeah. Nyah, that's what I said.
Captain Nyagathrod.
We got the captain over here coming down for 3 colorless, 1 blue, 1 black. He's a legendary creature, horror pirate. Horrors you control have menace. Whenever a horror you control deals combat damage to a player, that player mills that many cards. This is already getting fun. At the beginning of your end step, choose target artifact or target creature card in an opponent. No, not target. It's target. Target artifact or target creature card in an opponent's graveyard that was put there from their library this turn. Put it onto the battlefield under your control. This thing is so much fun.
They plunder your artifacts and they plunder your creatures.
Yep.
And they steal them and they mind control them and they smack you and they mill you. It's horror tribal.
This is so flavorful. I like it so much. And it has an effect very similar to the Nautiloid ship.
I forgot what the name of the horror that when he smacks you, you start milling or you start exiling.
Yes.
So people would make horror tribal with that guy.
He also costs the same thing too.
This one is just actual horror tribal.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to see what other horrors are in that deck.
We can only hope they're good.
This is a good card. This is already Faldorn. A good card.
You go ahead, man.
So, Faldorn Dread Wolf Herald. One red green. Legendary creature, human druid. Whenever you cast a spell from exile or a land enters the battlefield under your control from exile, create a 2/2 green wolf creature token. You pay one, tap it, discard a card, exile the top card of your library. You may play it this turn.
Druid Gobert.
It's red green draw. It draws you a card. It draws you, like, pay one mana and it draws you a card.
Yeah, it's CDH. It's automatically CDH. Remember, boys, if it draws you a card, it's a CDH commander.
Yeah.
So we got Furcrag, Cunning Instigator. In my favorite creature type, he's a dragon that comes down for 3 colorless, 1 blue, 1 red. He has flying and haste. Whenever one or more dragons you control attack an opponent, gold target creature that player controls. Whenever a creature deals combat damage to one of your opponents, if that creature had to attack this combat, put a 1/1 counter on this card, and you may draw a card. Niv-Mizzet with extra steps. I don't know how to feel about this guy as a commander. He draws you cards, which is okay, but no.
You have to jump through so many hoops.
Yeah.
In order to even draw a card. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I really do hope, like, this is one of those times where, like, the sub-commanders and sub-legendaries inside this deck are better than the actual commander.
Yeah. I feel like this thing, at best, could belong in, like, in the 99 in a dragon deck.
Yes.
Best case scenario.
And the last one is Nalia Dyarnis. One white black for a 3/3 legendary creature human rogue. You may look at the top card of your library anytime. You may cast cleric, rogue, warrior, and wizard spells from the top of your library. At the beginning of combat on your turn, if you have a full party, put a +1 counter on each creature you control, and those creatures gain death touch until end of turn. I don't feel like she should be her own deck. I don't know why they decided to make the party mechanic in white black only. Mostly because I guess there's warriors, I guess there's some rogues, I guess those are the colors for clerics. And some wizards, I guess, is like, you know, it just kind of feels like she just, you just buy this deck and dismantle her and put her in Tazri. Because this card just slots into Tazri. This is
honestly, I'm wondering why they didn't just save a card like Tazri for Commander product at that point. Especially if this was in plans, why didn't they just, like, why are they afraid of giving us a 5-color commander?
Because last time they did that, they gave Berserk Dragon and has the Eminence mechanic.
I failed to see the issue, JP.
So this just feels like it should slot into Tazri. But it is very interesting how if you have a cleric deck, because clerics, a cleric deck like Aura,
yeah,
you could slot this in and have this be card draw.
Yeah, it's card advantage, which I really like. I enjoy the idea of having like card advantage in these colors because I feel like, I don't know, black does a really good job at having card advantage, but this combination of colors always feels a little weird to me in that like regard. I don't know why.
Until you remember Tim Nexus.
That's correct. That is correct. Yeah. I completely forgot about Timna.
Considering you even run Timna?
Yeah. Yeah, that is correct. I forget Timna's real.
Hold on, I just wanna
look at this real quick. Or couldn't we just put that effect, like, Just the first effect on a 2-cost white creature would have been great. That's it. Just, you know, like, the third effect is really cool, but you know what? Give me a 1/1 creature same thing.
Make her white, black, and a 1/2.
Yeah. I think that would have been excellent. But I don't know. We've already voiced our issues with the card at this point. I like the fact that we're getting these.
The diamond cycle. So it's Sky Diamond, Marble Diamond, Fire Diamond, Moss Diamond, and Charcoal Diamond.
Yeah. I want each and every single one of those alternate arts.
Fire Diamond looks really cool. Fire Diamond
looks ridiculous, dude. It looks like something that you would find, not just in a D&D book, but like in an actual, like, I don't know, like script or something. It's amazing.
So we've talked about the cloak wood of hermit. It is a background and it makes squirrels.
Yeah, talk about
but
Wilson.
We haven't talked about Wilson.
Wilson,
the refined grizzly.
The refined grizzly that's about to tear your ass up.
Because he is one and a green legendary creature bear warrior. He can't be countered. He has vigilance. He has reach. He has trample. He has ward too. And you get to choose a background.
This is a mono green Atraxa. Actually, not even mono green, because you can choose a background. This is basically an Atraxa. I'm not saying that it's as broken as Atraxa. What I am saying, though, is that it is a 2/2 that comes down for 2 mana. So it's more than established that this guy is a bear. He has vigilance, reach, trample, and ward 2. Putting 4 abilities on a 2-cost card.
I would switch that reach for haste.
I think it would be too much if it was haste. I think it would literally just like break the freaking card if he had haste.
2 mana, hit you. Or no, turn 1. Land Lotus Petal, play him, hit you. Woo.
Insane. Absolutely insane.
I mean, you can technically still do that, but you have to use like...
You have to jump through hoops.
Like, no, the land that gets haste.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think we talked about Abdo.
Don't remember talking about Abdo.
We'll go into Abdo then. Let's go. So Abdo Adrian, finally having like someone that has a somewhat like normal like name.
Yes.
Like, every time a card has a normal name in Magic, it's either broken or absolute garbage. There is no in between. So he's Gorion's Ward. He comes down for 4/1 white. He's a legendary creature, human warrior. He's a 4/4. And when he enters the battlefield, you exile any other non-land permanents you control until he leaves the battlefield, and you create a 1/1 white soldier creature token for each permanent exiled this way. Choose a background. I think the choose a background part is what makes him kind of interesting. Yes. But I would also probably just stick him in Brago.
No.
Really?
Because you force exile your stuff. Brago kind of wants to keep cycling through his stuff.
Yeah. Just...
No. Also.
And it's any number. It's any number.
You get to choose?
Yeah. Okay, choose any number. Exactly. Yeah. You just.
Yeah, it's decent.
Astral Confrontation.
Astral Confrontation and instant is a common. This spell costs 1 less for each opponent you're attacking. It costs 3 less. So 2 mana exile target creature.
That's kind of interesting.
We've already talked about Ellen Harbury's Busybody.
Right.
And we've talked about Lulu.
Yes,
Lulu, we saw her showcase art.
Yes.
We haven't talked about Roving Harper because it's an ETB draw card in white. Even though there's one that ETBs, draws a card, and gains you a life.
Yeah.
Arakokra Sneak enters, and actually we talked about Arakokra Sneak and Blur.
Yeah.
Goggles of Night, Sea Hag, Irenica's Vile Duplication, Temora's Invoker.
We get Saravok?
No. There we go.
So at the beginning of each player's end step, if no permanents have left the battlefield this turn, that player loses X life, where X is Saravok's power. So Saravok, right? Am I reading that right? Saravok, the Deathbringer, is a legendary creature, human knight. He comes down for 3 and a black. He has the ability that I just talked about, and he also has a choose a background ability, which is interesting.
I feel like he's actually really, really, really bad.
Really bad?
Really bad. Oh, look, I crack a treasure, so something left. Now I don't lose life. I attack you with a creature. It blocks.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. No. Yeah, I just... Wait.
If nothing left.
If nothing left the battlefield. Never mind.
He's really bad.
I read that backwards. This guy is garbage.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, he's actually really bad.
He looks so cool, too. Like, that's really sad.
Yeah. And we already talked about Scion of Halaster, the background. We talked about Sturge.
Oh, wait. This is kind of fun. Summon a Nid. You mill 3 cards and return something from the graveyard to the battlefield.
Not bad.
That's actually not bad. Like, it still sucks that it's at a 5 cost, but that's actually not bad. Did we talk about Halsin? Also appears in the game?
Halsin, no.
Right. So Halsin over here, he's the Emerald Arc Druid. I really like that name. He comes down for 3 and 1 green. He's an elf druid, legendary creature. Pay 1, and until the end of the turn, target token you control becomes a green bear creature with base power and toughness 4/4 in addition to its other colors and types. Choose a background. So he wild shapes something.
Yes.
He wild shapes something. This is so much fun. You could have almost been a planeswalker with that kind of ability, I feel. Again, another tie-in from the Baldur's Gate game. This is like the main, like the leader of the druids that where the tieflings are taking like refuge in. Yes.
So now we have a new card called Commander Liara Portier. 3 red-white for a legendary creature human soldier. Whenever you attack, spells you cast from exile this turn cost X less to cast, where X is the number of players being attacked. Exile the top X card of your library. Until end of turn, you may cast spells among those exiled cards. This is really stupid strong. And I don't think people are understanding how stupid strong this is.
It's a 5 Boros mana Timna, essentially.
It's Boros Rakdos. Oh, look. And it draws you cards. So it's Boros Rakdos. Oh, look. I'm going to attack with, let's say, in those colors. If in red green I'm attacking with like 4 creatures constantly, and I'm not even attacking with my commander, this is like 5 creatures. I attack with 5 creatures. Now I exile the top 5, and they each one costs 5 less.
Yeah.
Oh look, the Lorehold dragon that nobody likes to cast because he's 7 mana, but he's 5 in a red white. Oh look. Oh look. 5 mana? Well, solving some Lacrim, I guess I'm casting it for free.
How do you think Commander Lyra compares to Winota?
No, it doesn't compare to Winota. Winota looks at the top 7 and puts something into play for each, like it's for each trigger.
Mm.
Winota's broken as shit.
He's a human soldier, though.
No, like, it does not compare.
No, but do you think you can stick her in Winota then?
Just no. I feel like this wants to be like its own deck, and also it's really, really strong. I really do feel like it's really strong. Because if you attack with enough creatures, oh look, I guess I play Eldrazi's for free. In Boros, and I didn't even have to have them in my hand, I exiled them.
Yeah.
Ramp, 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 ramp. Creatures, play Liara, attack.
Yeah. That's so much fun, though.
Yeah, this is actually really strong. And I'm really surprised that she's a common. Uncommon.
I'm really surprised that she's in white. She's strong and in white. Like, wow, they printed something strong in white. It's obviously got to have another color attached to it, but... So, we talked about OG last night.
Yeah.
Rilsa, I don't remember Rilsa.
Rail Kingpin. No, we did not talk about her. So, Rilsa Rail Kingpin, 3 blue-black for a legendary creature, human rogue. She's a 2/5. Death Touch. When Rilsa Rail enters the battlefield, you take the initiative. Whenever you attack, target creature gains... target creature gains Death Touch until end of turn. If you've completed a dungeon, that creature also gets +5/+0 and gains First Strike and Menace until end of turn.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's just that the dungeon mechanic is always really slow unless you have something to really enable. Like
blue-black colors aren't aggressive colors.
Yeah.
And even the most aggressive deck we've seen being Yuriko is not even that. Like, it just takes a lot of life out of it immediately.
Also, did we get the other pair of boots in the previous Commander Legends?
No.
It's a little sad. We need to get the other boots back. If you're going to print Swift boots, you should just print the other ones.
Yeah, they should.
The islands. I would love to just sit down and read each one of the flavor texts on one of these. I don't know if our listeners like it. I can just like read it for you, like ASMR. Open up an OnlyFans. Just have me reading flavor texts of Magic for hours and hours.
So these are the showcase cards for the white ones.
Yes, the showcase with their alternate arts. We got Lulu over here. I love Lulu. Look at him. Ah, yeah. It's so cool.
and more showcase cards.
Goggles of Night.
Okay.
Look at this
Look at that guy. Why is he so shit?
Why is he so bad?
And bro, looks so cool.
They fucked him over so bad. And look at him. This dude looks like the paladin that's gonna fuck up your day.
I want that card in foil so I can foil peel alter and put that in another art. Because that art is cool, but man, he sucks.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. Nemesis Phoenix.
We already talked about that.
No, but the art.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow. That looks beautiful. All right, so let's get on here. Halson. Wow, that is so cute.
That's a little bear.
That is the cute. You're trying to tell me that bear is a 4/4.
Yep.
The bears in Baldur's Gate are strong as hell.
No. As soon as he's gonna swipe, Halson just does 40 magic.
Yes. Make him into Big Bear in a second. Zevlor looks really interesting to me. I have not seen Zevlor pop out his Medusa tentacles like that, so I need to. I'm really curious about that. Got all these other guys down here. We got Asterion again. We got Lozan. We got
there.
Yes. I don't care. But nothing else matters. We could just stop the podcast right here. This is the only thing I ever wanted to get to. Tasha.
Mommy?
Mommy? What? Sorry. Mommy? All right. So Tasha the Witch Queen. You seemed excited. Go ahead, JP.
Tasha the Witch Queen. 3 blue black. For a legendary planeswalker, Tasha. She's 4 loyalty. Whenever you cast a spell that you don't own, create a 3/3 black dreaming creature token. You get to +1 her and you draw a card. For each opponent, exile up to 1 target instant or sorcery card from that player's graveyard and put a page counter on it. Then for a -3, you may cast a spell from among the cards in exile with page counters on them without paying their mana costs.
I feel...
Not...
Yeah.
Tasha the Witch Queen can be your commander.
You mean my next commander. Okay. So one thing that I kind of really like about this card, though, is it's really reminiscent of Ashiok. Like, I feel like this is totally a scrapped, like, Ashiok concept that they slapped on Tasha, and it works.
And it works, yeah.
Because I feel like their characters actually have a lot of similarities, like, in, like... Their
mechanics alignment. Like, yeah. How you would imagine Tasha in a magic card, their mechanics are very similar.
Exactly.
Yeah, Tasha's I don't think there's much to say about Tasha. Tasha's just really good.
Yeah,
just a +1 that draws your card, then you -3 make a 3/3 and cast whatever you exiled.
Yep.
And sure, they need to have a graveyard, but you're blue black, those are primary mill colors. She needs to survive a turn without protecting herself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bit of a problem in comparison to what I feel like an Elminster. If, like, Elminster with proper setup, you play Elminster, -3, exile something, make dudes to protect him.
Although, I think one of the cool things about Tasha, though, is that there's a lot of cards in blue-black that kind of steal cards from your opponent.
Well, yeah.
So I feel like it's just the kind of deal where you try to ramp up a bit and then, you know, put Tasha and have a spell like on hand that you can probably cast from exile. I don't know. It's just so good that there's really nothing to say about it. It's just like this is extremely freaking good. I enjoy it.
Yeah. So you skipped Elora Merry Thief.
Yes.
Tuna Blue.
We're talking about the Hardy Artlander too, right?
Yeah, we haven't either.
Yeah.
She's a half legendary creature, halfling rogue. Whenever you attack, up to 1 target attacking creature can't be blocked this turn, and you return it to your hand at the beginning of the next end step. So this is very interesting for ETB and combat damage triggers and attack trigger stuff. So being a 3-mana 3/2, this could be its own deck even without background.
Yeah.
Just a very, like, I imagine one of our friends, he always makes janky, like, bad cards really good. This is his back and back.
Actually, I think even Yuriko kind of likes this.
No. Rogue.
Oh, because it's a rogue. Yeah, never mind.
Or a ninja. Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, you could just go with the other guy.
Also, you kind of want to have the creature on the battlefield.
That is true, because you want it to keep attacking.
Yeah.
Still, I think there's a, like, potential for lots of other fun stuff, though. So, Hardy Outlander?
Yes. So, Hardy Outlander, it's a 1 green legendary enchantment background. Commander creatures you own have whenever this creature attacks a player, if no opponent has more life than that player, another target creature you control gets +X+X until end of turn, where X is the creature's power. Note that this says another. You can't target it, the commander can't target itself.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting.
I think it could have definitely been, like, the effect could have been condensed. Like, it's just like whenever you attack the player with the most life, no? Like, yeah. unless I'm misunderstanding what they're trying to say, they could have just been like, attack the player with the most life and he gets +X+X.
I guess they went through the semantics, mostly probably with a specific effect in mind. So look at the art on Tasha.
Yes. She has like the little spirits around her with her book. Oh man, it looks sick. She's like in the middle of casting a spell, her eyes are just going black.
Yes.
Her skin drained of color. That just looks sick, honestly. Like in a wizard tower or something.
Elminster's Simulacrum. 4 blue instant, which is actually quite interesting. I do not like that it is a mythic, but instant is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
For each opponent, you create a token that's a copy of the one target creature that player controls.
Kind of garbage, not gonna lie.
Yes. If this were a rare, I'd be like, okay, it's a rare. It's a mythic.
It's a trash mythic.
It's gonna be one of the trash mythics of the set.
Yeah. It's 6 mana. Like, this doesn't...
It's bad.
It's just bad. It's pointless to point out why it's bad. It's just bad.
Monster Manual, 3 green.
Flavorful, artifact. Kind of meta, but really cool.
You may put a creature card from your hand onto the battlefield. But it also has Adventure, Zoological Study, Sorcery Adventure. Mill 5 cards, then return a creature card milled this way to your hand. Not that meta considering Volo made the guide to monsters.
Yeah, we talked about that, but honestly, I still think it still feels a little meta. Like, even Volo making the guide to monsters is pretty meta, and I think most of the books, actually, that are meant to be, like, for example, like Tasha's book, it's meant to be meta, because when you open up the book, it's narrated, like, you have notes from Tasha.
Yeah.
Like, Tasha is the one, like, you literally found Tasha's book.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, the card itself is like, I don't know, like double meta essentially for that same reason.
Yeah, this is a decent card. It's basically Elvish Piper for 1 more mana, but also has the option to draw you a card.
And you can do it in your turn though. Like, you can do it the turn it comes down. Unlike exactly. Elvish Piper.
Yeah. We've already talked about Master Chef.
Yes, I think it's
beautiful.
Safana de Puerto Calim. I love these cards in Spanish. I don't know if we mentioned this before in the podcast, but these Spanish cards just ring just so different. I'm telling you, man.
Okay. Her ability is Safana Calimport Cutthroat. A 2 black for a legendary creature, human rogue. She's a 3/2. She has menace, and at the beginning of your end step.
No, JP.
Amenaza.
Amenaza.
At the beginning of your end step, if you have the initiative, create a treasure token. If you completed a dungeon, create 3 instead. Choose background.
3 treasure tokens.
3 treasure tokens in black. I wish this were... never mind. It's like, I don't want to really take the initiative in Jolene. I don't want to complete the dungeon in Jolene. I feel like this is actually a pretty much a miss.
You can't play this in Jolene.
I know, but like what I meant is like, if this were in other colors, it's like, oh yeah, I'll probably want to run this, but no.
This guy.
This is a strong one.
It's strong. I love it. I want it.
Shameless Charlatan. It's 1 blue, legendary enchantment background. Commander creatures you own have 2 blue. This creature becomes a copy of another target creature. Note that it does not say until end of turn, and because the enchantment is the one that's giving it the ability, you may copy it several times. You may copy different creatures as long as you are paying 2 blue. This can lend itself to so many shenanigans, to the point where this card is like...
kind of like scary strong.
Yeah.
I have like.
I think it really depends on what background it gets paired with.
It's just the possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's like, what do you do? It's like, oh yeah, well, I just happen to have a Dramoka in play. Oh, well, like, I guess I copy your Dramoka. I like that Dramoka. I'll have a Dramoka. You know?
Yeah. I also think about, like, there's, I can't think of them off the top of my head, but I know I remember some, like, creature cards, for example, that would just say, that I would just look at them and say, if I could play multiple of these, I would literally just win the game.
Yes.
And this just opens the door for that kind of stuff.
Now we have
Will's Reversal. We're getting a reversal.
I think we talked about this because...
We did?
Oh, yes, it's true.
We did talk about this.
Yeah.
I did want to mention, I don't know if I mentioned it last time we were in the podcast, but that's actually another character from the game.
Yeah.
He is a Warlock.
Yeah, and we talked about this card because we said, there's better options for that type of effect, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got ourselves a Halfling Ranger. Did we talk about this? No, I don't think we did.
Aranis Gloomstalker, 200 green legendary creature Halfling Ranger, death touch. Whenever Aranis Gloomstalker attacks, return target land card from your graveyard to the battlefield and choose a background.
I think that has some really fun potential.
Strip mine, kill your land, attack. Play strip mine, kill your land.
That sounds fun. That sounds fun. Let's go. All right. I really like that in the alternate art, like the halfling, like the style in which they drew the halfling is just so classic. I really enjoy it.
I already know what this card does.
This one right here?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like not Azusa?
No, she have Baal Besak Enthusiast, legendary creature, human wizard, vigilance, add a number, so you can tap her. But to add a number of colorless mana equal to Baal Besak's Enthusiast toughness, and this mana can't be spent to cast spell from your hand. She's a 2/3 choose background.
Interesting. Nah, I don't like it.
No. yes. Majestatis Schöpfung. I just butchered that.
Yep. We just lost our Germany audience.
I don't even think that's healing.
Nature will never heal from what JP just did to that name. Nature is Healing is a card for 6 and 2 green. It is a sorcery. It is a mythic. So I'm reading this for the first time. So I just hope to God that this is a good sorcery.
Yes.
Reveal the top X cards of your library, where X is the highest converted mana value of a commander you own on the battlefield or in the command zone. Okay, pseudo-eminence. You may put a number of permanent cards from among them onto the battlefield. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in any random order. So, Ur-Dragon. But Ur-Dragon.
Coma.
Morphon.
Big boys with just big abilities.
Yep.
This is what Commander was made for. Big dumb spells with big dumb effects and do big dumb stuff.
Yep. And make those big dumb things actually like worth casting.
This is a mythic. This is good as a mythic.
Like this is the kind of card that can make Commander feel like modern a bit.
This card, I'm thinking with Coma specifically, is like, okay, 8 mana. So yeah. Ugin, this is Ugin's ultimate.
Yeah.
I look at the top 7 and put 7 permanents, Duda. Yeah, this is Dungeon Delver.
Commander creatures you own have room abilities of an... Oh no, yeah, we did cover this. I remember that.
Yeah.
Glunch.
Oh, that art looks a bit sus. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
This man trying to hit the jealousy. The glossy, if you will.
There we go.
Nope, it's not happening.
I can look at it. There we go. Glunch the Bestower. One green, white, legendary creature, jellyfish, flying. At the beginning of your end step, choose a player. They put 2+1 counters on a creature they control. Choose a second player to draw a card. Choose a third player. They create 2 treasure tokens, and it's a 0/5.
All right, so you already know how this goes, boys. If it draws you cards, it's CDH.
Oh, wow. You're just gonna give stuff
to your opponent? Give treasure and +1/+1 counters to your opponent. Let's go. That's CDH. I've seen it. Oh my god. Is Glunch just a legendary flump?
Yeah.
Okay. I understand, but at the same time, I don't. So all the flumps just give stuff to your opponents.
And flumps are helpful. That's what the...
So they just help the board.
They're just helpful. That's like the main thing.
Well, resurgence of more group hug decks, I suppose. Alora.
Far Traveler. So commander creatures, it's a legendary enchantment background, 2 and a white, Far Traveler. Commander creatures you own have at the beginning of your end step, exile up to 1 tapped creature you control, then return it to the battlefield under its owner's control.
Blink. So you just make a deck Brago,
yeah,
essentially.
Like one. Up to one target.
Yeah.
Flaming Fist, it's also a background. Commander creatures you own have, whenever this creature attacks, it gains double strike until end of turn. And it's 2 and a white. It's okay.
Yeah.
Imoen.
Imoen, Mystic Trickster.
Yeah, beginning of your end step, and then should draw a card.
Mm. Okay, 2 and a blue, legendary creature, human rogue wizard, so 2/3, ward 2. At the beginning of your end step, if you have the initiative, draw a card. Draw another card if you've completed the dungeon.
Oh, her art looks really sick.
Duke Ulder, Raven Guard.
No, but it's El Duque.
El Duque Ulder, Raven Guard. At the beginning of combat on your turn...
Don't ever do that again.
Okay.
go ahead.
At the beginning of your combat on your turn, another target creature gains haste and myriad until end of turn. This opens up a lot of shenanigans, but its mana cost is very restrictive. Weird that they've just done another Boros legendary like that. Like, very...
Yeah.
Because the other ones, like, the commander list support... The one that exiles is 5 mana. That's like, you know.
Honestly, at 6 mana, I think this guy's kind of bad.
Yeah, might be.
Man, unless you want to, I don't know, strap it into a Winota deck or something. It's just, Winota deck just wins as it is. It doesn't need it. No. That's a problem.
Yeah.
All right, so we got a Dragon Bard. That's really freaking sick. That's Corlessa Scale Singer, so it just comes down for a green and a blue. Legendary creature, Dragon Bard. You may look at the top card of your library at any time. You may cast dragon spells from the top of your library.
So we were saying the blue, the white-black card was going to be a 1/2 because it casts stuff from the top, but this one just does the same, and it's a 1/4.
That is insane. I think... Oh my god. This opens up the door for a lot of fun things. I mean, this definitely goes in your 5-color dragon decks. I am not a fan of trying to run this as its own thing. I don't think I want to try, even though it's kind of cool, but I don't want to try. And now we are at the end of the of all our spoilers, right? So
missing 2 more.
Or Lessa is looking. Wait. No. Yeah. We got these two guys. We're on our last page though. We got a Firebolg though. Do we have the Firebolg race?
Firebolg.
Do we have the Firebolg like race in D&D right now?
No, but they're typically giants.
It'd be interesting if we finally got Firebolg back.
Yeah. So let's start with Vaconia. Vaconia, Drow.
We're gonna leave the best for last.
Yeah. I don't think this is like.
I mean, out of the two.
At the beginning of your upkeep, if there are 4 or more creature cards in your graveyard, return a creature card at random from your graveyard to your hand. Choose a background. No. This isn't it.
I know this isn't it, but I like him.
This isn't it?
I actually like him.
It should have been to the play.
I know. It definitely should have.
Okay. Fine Firbolg Flautist. Or probably Firbolg Flautist. Four red red creature giant bard. A captivating performance. When Firbolg Flautist enters the battlefield, gain control of target creature you don't control until end of turn. Untap that creature. It gains haste and myriad until end of turn.
Okay, like at first, like as you keep reading that, and I'm just like, this is bad, bad, bad myriad.
Oh. Yep, basically.
I know. Okay, I'm gonna put my Eldrazi. Wait. Oh, what's the name of that dumbass card?
No.
But like the 12-12, the 11-11 infect creature.
Oh yeah, I'm just gonna play Blightsteel.
It's like play Blightsteel. Oh, I killed one player. Oh, you didn't kill me. What did you guess? Let's go with the Flautist. Just take out the rest of the board. Just win the game. Let's go. I don't know. I think this guy is really cool. The only thing I'm not a fan of sometimes with this kind of card, though, is that it kind of depends on the power level of your opponent's deck to really shine.
I, at one point, one of my Boros decks was a Bryon Stoutfarm. And Bryon is a legendary giant that would fling creatures, wow. Right?
Looks sick.
So my deck was filled with every type of effect that was a threatened effect. I just active aggression. I just threatened. I just stole my opponent's creatures, and then attacked them with them, and then fling them at their faces. So you'd be surprised how effective that strategy is.
Definitely.
Because your opponents want to be playing good stuff, and that's good stuff you can use against them.
Exactly. Well, JP, I think we are now reaching the end of tonight's episode. We've talked about a lot of fun cards. There are still tons of more spoilers to come, and I'm really excited about it. Even if it's just a bunch of like the remaining chaff, essentially, because there's been a bunch of like.
I really do hope there's more like actual reprints. I really do hope there's reprints. There's not, then I'm actually going to be kind of, you know, disappointed.
I'm not even buying anything. There's still a lot of, like, you know, cards that haven't been spoiled yet. So hopefully, like, in those, like, you know, some of the remaining rare slots, if we have any, I think we still do. And in some of those uncommon slots, I hopefully we'll get, like, lots of really good, like, utility reprints and stuff like that. So, anything else you want to add? Anything else you want to talk about before we sign off?
We may close off.
All right. Well, that's the end of the episode, my dudes. My name is Chris. His name is JP. You can find me here in the Cardboard Cave Podcast and over at my Twitch. JP, where can they find you, my guy?
You can find me here at the Cardboard Cave Podcast talking more about magic.
What about our friends, though? What about our friends, though?
Oh, yes. Our friends that could not join us, our co-hosts, but John is in a very special situation right now. He might be, you know, he might be a dad.
Yep. I mean, he is going to be a dad. No. He is already a dad.
He might be a dad soon. Like, he is, like
he's already a dad.
He's a dad. His child is about to be born.
Yes. So. We have another magic player on the way.
Yes. So, and our good sir Alejandro Orengo, you may Google his name. He is a filmmaker and he is everywhere.
He's literally everywhere. Actually, tonight, I don't know if he's still there, but he's over at 15 in Richport, correct?
Yes.
That's the XV in Richport, as they also like to call it. So, man. I want everyone to have an awesome night. I hope everyone gets a chance to play Magic this weekend, and I hope that we all get to see some more wonderful spoilers, because there's a lot of really fun stuff coming around in the summer.
Yep. It's been fun.
See you guys.